I'm Alex Van Beeken, and each episode, we'll take a closer look at the science, the stories, and the solutions to both pet and livestock animal care. Let's explore what's possible. Welcome to Elevate Animal Health Podcast, where we dive into the mysteries of pet wellness and what you can do for your pet for longevity and wellness. I'm your host, Alex Van Beek, and today we're going to take a deeper dive into what we call the GI tract and how that relates to digestion and why digestion is important, and also what you should be looking for as a pet parent or as a veterinary professional, a veterinary technician, and speaking with your clients on the importance of nutrition and what they should be looking for. If we take a step back for a minute and think about the diets we're feeding our pets today, and we look at what's included in them, we look at how they're labeled, we look at what the bag looks like, we think about the lifestyle of our pets, what our pets need. There's a really, as we start listing all of the components to why we're buying a commercial food for our pets, we have to really start to understand and stop for a minute and think, what do our pets need? And so depending on the lifestyle, an active lifestyle is going to need different nutritional requirements. A new puppy is going to need different nutritional requirements, a new kitten. An aging animal is going to need different nutritional requirements. So as we understand in this journey of pet parentship, we need to really stop for a minute and think, am I giving my pet what they need? And there also lays a very important question, what they need. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, what does my pet need? Because if we look at from a pet food standpoint and a requirement standpoint from the pet food manufacturers, what they need is regulated by AFCO. In fact, all supplement manufacturing, all pet food manufacturing is regulated by AFCO, and that is the Association of Animal Feed Compound Officials. Could be wrong there on the C. And they regulate from an ingredient standpoint what's allowed in foods, what's allowed in supplements. They also regulate from a labeling standpoint what your labels look like and what you can have on, what you must have on, and what's optional. So when you look at AFCO standards, AFCO requirements, yes, every commercially available food or supplement has to abide by those standards. Now, you think, okay, that's good. There's something protecting the industry there, and it is a good requirement. However, you need to think a little bit further. Everything is based on a requirement for survival. It's a nutritionally balanced and available for survival, not necessarily for thriving. So, for example, if you have a breed that is generally prone to joint health issues later in life, and the food you're feeding them does not contain the correct amounts of joint support, then you're not giving the animal what's best to thrive, right? So we're staying along the lines of survival, not thriving. And when we look at our own self for nutrition, we're responsible for our own diets. That's a general human responsibility. You know what you eat and you know what you put in your body. The same thing goes for our pets. They can't make that choice though. they require you to help them. And as a veterinary professional, they require you to help guide them through that journey, because it's not a one food for the rest of their life. The other thing I want to point out in nutrition and availability and what I'm feeding my pet, is that really what they're getting? So remember, first one was the requirement for survival is how AFCO labels it. This is what is required, not necessarily for thriving. So step number one is, as a pet parent, as a veterinary professional, take the time to educate yourself on how I can give my pet parents that I service or my own pets that I take care of the optimum for thriving. Okay? Now, as we go into the pet food itself, and we think about how pet food is manufactured today, it's manufactured to be commercially available, to be shelf stable, and to be safe, right? So we can't have salmonella growing. We can't have the food not shelf stable and it you know, it's breaking down into mush in the bag. It has to be commercially available. What that means is, through the process of manufacturing food, whether it's through a high heat extrusion process or whether it's through a high pressure process, which are the two most common ways you're processing foods, most of your elements that are needed from a vitamin, from a enzyme standpoint, even certain bacteria, certain probiotics, they are destroyed through that process, denatured, unavailable. Now, food is a catalyst to energy. Everybody needs energy. Also, enzymes are incredibly important for breaking down that food so the body can absorb it. And when that enzyme activity is denatured, it's not able to do its task anymore. So when you look at the fat content in a food, is your pet actually able to achieve the bioavailability of that? When you look at then the fat-soluble vitamins that are inside the food, is your pet actually able to utilize those fat-soluble vitamins, right? So as we start down that journey of exploring what's best for my pet, what's best for, as a veterinary professional, your clients and their nutritional requirements, some basic understanding we hope to bring to you as the audience. So when you're looking at what pet food am I buying and what's commercially available, I want you to think about a couple of things. And don't take this to be overwhelming, like, oh, I have to tackle this all today. No, take short steps, right? And the first step is knowing that most commercially available foods are not going to give you what makes your pet thrive. Okay, so remember that. Now, early in your pet's life or early in your client's pet parent ownership or pet parentship, some of these things aren't distinguishable. Some of these things aren't visible. Some of what might cause a problem later in life, I can't see on year one or year two, but later on it catches up, right? It's kind of the law of economics with nutrition. Later in life, bad nutrition catches up, right? If I stress the pancreas all the time by eating processed foods nonstop, causing a inflamed pancreas, there could be things that stem out of that, like food allergies. If the pet or myself as a human, you stop producing a certain enzyme, and science itself today doesn't really understand why that happens. I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole. I'm just giving an example. Later in life, you could see, and maybe those of you with 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old dogs that have just an itchy skin, dry, itchy skin, that could very well easily be due to the lack of omega-3s in the diet, the lack of being able to digest and utilize the good fats, right? We need that for the health and protection of our skin. Not only that, vitamin A, vitamin E are also very important there. So one of the things I want to point out is first of all, don't take this as I have to revamp everything today. But as we walk through this journey with you, see if you can implement one thing, right? Take one thing and see if you can implement that. The first thing would be a high-quality food, right? So look for things where there's additional add-ins and where they really draw out the components that might fit your dog the best or your client's dog the best from a nutritional standpoint, also depending on lifestyle, right? So the more individual you get with it, the better it is, all right? So that's one. The other thing I want to talk about is in the world we live in, commercially available foods are necessary. From a pet ownership level of the United States, I'm speaking especially or particularly, it's impossible for everybody to have raw cooked diets, homemade diets for our pets. So commercially available is necessary. The thing I want you to think about as a veterinary professional or a pet parent is what supplementations should I make myself aware of, right? And again, specifically depending on breed, age, and lifestyle. Those are three important things to consider when looking at the different supplementations and looking at the different foods that I should be focused on, okay? In supplementation, you want to think about digestive health, and you also want to think about muscle and joint health. Those are two big areas to focus on. In digestive health, we have probiotics and prebiotics. The difference in probiotics and prebiotics, in a later episode, we're going to get into. Vitamins. Certain vitamins are vital for the protection of the gut, for the building up of the gut, for the maintenance of gut health. For example, vitamin A is crucial for helping build mucosal lining, which is one of your first defenses. And then you have enzymes. And when you think about digestion, enzymes are incredibly important. So, those are some things to consider. I also want to point out one other thing. We're going to get into this a little bit with the enzyme conversation. But a quick fact that I want you to think about. As you enjoy food and you think about a food you've had that, wow, every time I think about that food, my mouth starts to water, right? You're producing digestive enzymes. What we have here is a factor that is triggered by memory. And if your pet enjoys the food, it's going to create a much better digestibility because you're going to secrete gastric enzymes at a higher rate. So when you're looking at, you're standing there the next time and you're looking at the food that sits on the shelf and you're trying to figure out which one do I buy, you're buying off the label or you're buying off the bag, which picture looks better, you know, picture of a salmon floating through a river or whatever that might be. When you're doing that, I want you to think about this. Pay attention to how much your pet enjoys the meal, because that creates memory, and it's actually called hedonic value, H-E-D-O-N-I-C, hedonic value. The higher that value is, the better the digestive enzyme secretion is. So that's a little bit of homework for you, and I want you to subscribe to this channel and or this podcast and follow us on this journey. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out at any point. We love questions. We love that interaction. But as we take a deeper dive into the GI tract and really unpack digestion, I want you to be along with us on the journey, because what you're going to learn here is crucial, not only for your pet, but you may pick up some pointers for yourself. And as a veterinary professional, whether a veterinarian or a technician or another veterinary hospital employee, and you ever get into a conversation with a pet parent on digestive health, I want you to follow us. I want you to follow this journey. One, you can point your clients to the podcast. But number two, you give yourself a free education or free information. So we will be the hub that takes a journey through the GI tract. And we're going to do so slowly. We're going to crawl through it. But the GI tract, from start to finish, is a standalone organ that is responsible for almost every functionality in the body. You need to have ingredients that are digestible, that are absorbable. And another episode we're going to get into is bioavailability. It's a word we've heard before. What does it really mean? Follow us and you'll find out. Thank you.